This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned into the Kenai Conversation. I'm Sabine Pooks. This Kenai Conversation was recorded on Tuesday, November 23rd. At a school board meeting earlier this month, students and educators testified about their experiences with discrimination in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District following a string of incidents that some said amounted to censorship of materials about LGBTQ+ characters and themes. Those incidents catalyzed a larger conversation about supporting students who are on the LGBTQ+ spectrum. That acronym stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning. Today on the program, we're talking about what supporting LGBTQ+ students looks like. And we're joined by several guests over Zoom. Sophia Diaz is a sophomore at Homer High School. Hi, Sophia.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Thea Person is a Homer High School junior. Hi, Thea.
Hi.
Winter Marshall Allen is a special education teacher at Homer High School. Hi, Winter.
Hello.
And Jenny Foyer is a teacher at Wasilla Middle School in the Matsu Borough School District and also holds trainings for teachers looking to be more supportive of their students on the LGBTQ+ spectrum. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
We'll also have Leslie Bird joining us later in the call. Leslie is a co-coordinator for Soldotna Pride in the Park. So thank you all so much for being here. Thea and Sophia, I'd love to start with you because both of you testified at the school board meeting this fall about times you faced discrimination in the district. Why did you feel it was important to come to that meeting virtually and talk about your experiences? Maybe Sophia, we can start with you on this one.
So I haven't actually been Homer for that long, only a little over a year. And even this short span of time, I've seen time and time again the discrimination that students face in their own schools, you know? And it's really shocking to me because school should be a place where people go to learn and not worry about their safety. And I felt that even though maybe I don't relate completely to anyone who's lived here their entire life and has been dealing with this for years on end, but I just felt it was very important to give that minority of students a voice somehow.
The day that I found out that I could have the opportunity to testify about the issue, that morning I had heard classmates of mine discussing really, really negative stuff about the posters that Miss Winter put up around the school that were advertising campus pride. And I just kind of felt helpless. And I was like, what can I do here? How can I stand up to this? And so later that day, I found out about testifying and talking to Sophia. We were both like, this is really important. We need to address this. From a student's perspective, people need to know about this.
For people who aren't in the district, who aren't in these schools, it's hard to kind of know what that even looks like. And so to have students come to this meeting and talk about their experiences is really illuminating. Can you talk a little bit now about some of those things you brought up at the meeting and kind of what concerns you most about what you're seeing from your peers, Sophia?
Should I go?
Sure.
Well, what concerned me the most is how students are made to feel unsafe, or even how long this issue has been going on for, and it hasn't been really cracked down on, even though I know people who have even graduated from Homer High School who had the same experiences that students are still facing today in the same school. A lot of people don't think about is that it's a lot more than just normal bullying or just slurs, you know? It can be anything from, physical violence. I've had my friends had stuff thrown at them in their school because they're gay, or just being made to feel unsafe, getting unwanted looks, just any way that could make someone feel unsafe or unsure about their safety in their school. It's not always being called a slur, but sometimes it is, and that's completely awful.
Well, and you mentioned posters around the school, and Winter, you put up a pride flag in your classroom and were later asked to take it down, but then later that incident actually led to the creation of a policy that allows symbols of inclusivity in classrooms. Can you talk a little bit about that? Why did you feel it was important to put up a flag in your classroom?
So I had the Progressive Pride door markers outside my door since 2018. And the flag was a suggestion by another student who I actually have, who is identified as trans, and he's this individual is an introvert and was seeking his own student population, but not really knowing how to kind of initiate some of those social engagements. So how do we bring some of those social engagements to him, you know? And, you know, what, like my little door markers are my door markers, and everybody who knows that they're there knows that they're there, and they're for them. They're for them, they're for us. They are our symbols that represent our safe spaces, that represent the fact that we have somebody in that space that we can identify with, and we can share whatever trauma happened or whatever celebration happened, that we have that safe person. Because every student, every adult for that matter, every individual needs a champion, right? We all need somebody who's in our corner, who's rooting for us, who believes that we are going to have, you know, whatever it is that we're going to do well, that we're going to succeed at the very end of the day. And even if we're not having the best day, that we still have somebody who's going to listen to us and see us and appreciate us for who we are, right? And so these symbols are so important, so important. And they are, in some ways, they're calling cards, right? So we can put the symbols up and they become this calling card that says, oh, hey, this is a person, or this is a place where this population can convene and come and hang out. It's definitely evolved in that, like putting the flag up and it being up for less than 24 hours and then being told to take it down. And then like that being wrong. And the whole reason why I was told to take it down is because they wanted to label it as political. And you can't label a whole demographic of population of people of political as political. We are beyond that. As a multiracial individual, at one point in time, my existence was political. It was illegal for my parents to be married in some states at the point in time when they were married, because those states didn't allow for interracial relationships. Like, as Americans, we have evolved past that. We are the United States of America, and we are better than that. So symbols of inclusion and diversity are super important to me. I have a disability myself. I'm multi-ethnic. I do want to recognize that we are on the Aleutic and Supiak lands of the Dene Ina people. We should always recognize the native stewards of our land. If it wasn't for their continual fight, then we wouldn't have some of the beautiful things that we have access to. So all of that, it's all tied to making sure that people feel seen and feel heard.
And
can I add something to that?
Yeah, of course.
Just like you mentioned that it's a calling card. I came into high school really deeply, deeply closeted. I felt like I was perhaps the only queer kid in the entire school. I didn't know where to look to find people who understood what I was going through. So little symbols like that, like putting a pride flag up in a teacher's classroom, or just a student wearing a pride pin, they mean so much to people who don't feel seen. Like just those little gestures, you can be, oh, that person is safe. That person understands what I'm going through. And it's really, really helpful.
Thank you for that. To your point, Winter, you were asked to take the flag down, but then there was actually a resolution created. Can you talk about that resolution and what that process was like?
Yes. So through our bargaining contract, we have the ability to file a grievance. And so I was able to file a level one grievance. And I petitioned that, and I quoted all of our own board policies, basically everything that cited diversity and inclusion. And then I cited part of our contract, our CBA, that talked about teacher autonomy. And being that I am a teacher who teaches individuals with disabilities, and I teach self-advocacy, and I teach social skills, and I teach employability skills. And if you can't adjust for diversity and for different people in different situations, whether you agree or don't agree, then you're not going to be very successful in your employment. And that is something that I teach. And so this whole situation just kind of compounded the fact that, like, we can't use negative narratives in order to label our students, especially when we're trying to accelerate their growth, we're trying to accelerate their opportunities, we're trying to provide diverse narratives of people who are achieving and attaining, because Homer High produces amazing graduates and amazing students. The Kenai Peninsula School District produces amazing students. This is a fact. You can go and go look at the data, and you can look at Homer High's national stats. So in doing all of this academia, we need to make sure that we are good holistic citizens, right? And that we understand each other, even if we don't agree with each other. We still have to be respectful, and we still have to be civilized.
Thea, you mentioned that a flag can be such an important symbol, a calling card for students who are on the LGBTQ plus spectrum. Have you seen other examples, other kind of very visible physical examples of that support in your school or outside of school that you kind of like to point to?
Yeah, obviously we're here because bad stuff happens. But there are also, like, so many amazing people who do, like, a lot of amazing things and help out with issues like this. I went to a Pride festival, which Miss Winter attended, in June, and I was just, like, so excited to see how many people were there to either support what we were saying or represent the LGBT community. And places like the Rec Room, who are very, very dedicated to having, like, a safe space.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the Rec Room in Homer for folks who don't know what it is?
It's run through the Ketchumark Bay Family Planning Clinic, or partnered with it. It's a after-school hangout space for teenagers, mostly ranging from, like, 12 to 18, I believe. It's nonprofit. It's really dedicated to inclusion, to positive interaction. They teach Green Dot and sexual health and all this really awesome stuff, and are really open to everyone across all spectrums of humanity.
What is having a space like that mean, to be around other people who share a sort of shared experience or identity? What does that mean to you?
It really just makes you feel seen, like seen and safe and cared about. It demonstrates that there are people who will stand up with you, who understand if you're struggling, who want to help you if you're having a bad day. And it's just, like, a really great place. I've met some of my best friends in places like that.
Sophia, you mentioned that you're a little bit newer to Homer. Is that a community that you found when you first came to the area as well? Is that a part of your community in Homer too?
Actually, the first time I met other queer folks in Homer was at the Rec Room's LGBTQIA plus group that they have every Wednesday, you know? So the Rec Room was a really big part, and still is, of me meeting new people in the community. And I'm sort of a regular there now, so that's cool, I guess.
We were both there earlier.
Earlier today?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, Jenny, I'd like to turn to you for a bit. You work with educators around the state to train them on supporting queer students. You were actually in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District this past weekend. You know, given the kind of statewide perspective you have, I'm curious if we're seeing some of these same pressure points come up around the state, what that's maybe looked like as you've gone to different school districts.
I've actually, the Kenai Peninsula is my first training for the state of Alaska, but that I did because prior, I was trained pre-COVID and then COVID hit. So, but I was very excited this weekend. We did do a training down in Kenai, but let me back up to the question. Yes, in the Valley, we're seeing the same pressure points. We have youth that are being discriminated against, and my job as a trainer is to help educators become more supportive, because in the Valley, we have teachers who are supportive and who are allies, they're active allies, but we also have teachers who don't know how to even begin supporting LGBTQ students or staff, and they want to learn more. And then we also have teachers who don't know that they're causing harm by not using correct pronouns or by using their dead names. And so it's my job to provide educators with the tools so they can have that safe space for LGBTQ youth. So this weekend, my husband and I, and I'll talk a little bit more about my husband in a bit, but we went down and did a training for a couple of teachers. And basically what we do for that is we introduce teachers to some of the basic terms about the LGBT community. We provide a little bit of the history. We help teachers practice ways to be supportive of students, whether that be using pronouns, how to make their classroom more welcoming by putting flags up. So something I do is I don't have a flag up in my room yet, but I'm going to get there. I have pins on my coat. And so when I notice students, because I'm an art teacher, so when I notice students creating artwork that is pride related or LGBT created, I put my coat on and then I walk around and I let them kind of, and then they're like, oh, she's got pride pins. Oh my goodness, she's a safe person. And so, but that is super important for even kids at middle school. They need an ally. They need somebody to advocate for them because it's not there all the time. So one of my favorite activities that I like to do with teachers, it's called the label game. And basically what I do is you have to think about ways you have been labeled or negative names that you've been called. And so you have to pick three of them. And once you pick three, you put them on sticky notes and you put them on your shirt. And so you have to choose whether you claim the name, change the name, or toss the name. So for example, I've been called worthless, I've been called nerdy, and I've been called creative. So I claim nerdy, I love Star Wars and Star Trek. I claim creative, I'm artsy. I am not worthless. I have changed that narrative to a positive one. So I am priceless. So I kept all of them, but I adjusted one. I think helping educators learn how to do things like that with their students is super valuable.
Yeah, that's a really great concrete example of something educators can do. And something I'm curious about, because most of us on this call are talking about things kind of at the high school level or higher, but of course you're a middle school teacher. And I think a common thing that comes up when we're talking about things like this is how young is too young to be talking about these things. Is that something that you encounter? What kind of would do you say to that when people maybe bring age up?
So, interesting enough, I used to teach elementary school, and I had a young person in third grade, and I kind of suspected, but I wasn't sure that they were on the LGBTQ spectrum. I didn't say anything. I showed support, but I saw them later in life and found out they were definitely on the LGBTQ spectrum. So, I mean, at third grade, I think people know, or they can know. I mean, it's not concrete, but if you know, you know, I guess. Does that make sense? And I think when a kid is ready or a youth is ready to have that conversation, I think it's appropriate.
Winter, you're raising your hand.
Yeah, well, just to even piggyback on what Jenny's saying, like from being the Region 3 region director here for the Kenai Peninsula Education Association, we hear from our elementary teachers and they're seeking more training. They're wanting to know how they can support some of their younger students, because some of their younger students our elementary students are navigating these things. And it is, you know, third grade and above where more of these conversations are happening and where we're hearing from some of those educators. But the bottom line is that we all love our kids, right? We all support kids. So how do we equip our educators with the best tools possible to support all students?
Yeah, what are kind of some other tools, Jenny, that you teach educators, particularly you mentioned maybe teachers who really want to support their students, but genuinely have no kind of clue where to start or are a bit clueless about bringing these sorts of things up in the classroom. What are kind of some very basic ways you tell teachers to kind of start going about that?
So one of the first things that I do is when I get new kids every quarter. And so one of the first things I do is I say, okay, is there, you know, I'm going through attendance. Is there anything that you, a nickname that you want to use or something else that you want to be called by? Just let me know. And so as I'm taking attendance, I write their names down. And if it's something that I notice is different or I'm trying to think of doing an example without giving names and I don't know if I can. But when I do find students that have different names, later in the day or later in that week, I will call them over and I will ask them. I'm like, okay, so I notice you want to be called this name. What are your pronouns? And I ask them. And at the middle school level, they sometimes they're a little surprised I ask, but they will very willingly let you know if they are she, they, he, they, them. They will tell you. And then it's my job to use those pronouns. And so teaching teachers those little tricks like that, I think is super important. And because I say it's a nickname, then it's I'm doing this with everybody. It's not just isolating the LGBTQ youth, if that makes sense. So,
sure. Yes. And it sounds like in the process of talking to students about their pronouns, that you're also equipping students with the vocabulary that they need to talk to their peers about their pronouns too, in turn.
Yep. Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the training that you did in the district this weekend? How many educators were there? How long is the training? Will you be offering more trainings in the future?
So this weekend, my husband and I, we worked together. The first training I think that happened, it was in Homer with Winter, and my husband did a lesson. Can't talk today. He was working with Winter via Zoom, and they did a presentation that way. This weekend, we were working with two other educators, and I believe the Kenai, the union president. And basically, we did the same thing. We did the LGBTQ 101. We went over the definitions. We walked through the labeling activity. We talked about how the suicide rate when students are supported, when LGBTQ youth are supportive, the suicide rate drops within that of the cishet peers. And so, and that's super important, that the suicide rate with LGBTQ youth is particularly high, so.
Yeah, really puts into perspective the importance of offering that space and support. And Leslie, I know that Kenai Peninsula College also holds trainings for educators. Can you talk a little bit about that from the college side?
Well, I mean, I know that UAA and KPC both have a Safe Zone training program. I know that UAA is looking to alter theirs a little bit. They have pretty robust groups of committees that are working towards making campus more friendly for LGBTQ folks. But And I'm very so glad, Jenny, to hear you. We need to connect later. there's a lot of that same stuff. I'm so happy to hear that, because that's some of the same stuff that, you know, that the college is doing. But that's actually more of like my daytime role. By night, I do the co-coordinating of Soldat No Pride in the Park. And a lot of that has grown out of some things at the university system. But I'm certainly not here to talk on behalf of the university at all or the college. But I do know that there's the LGBT Alliance through KPC, and there is also Safe Zone training available. And then Pride in the Park is working. Mostly we just host the event in the summertime. But myself and the other co-coordinator are often trying to connect folks. For example, I have had people reach out to me through the Pride in the Park messenger system to tell me about various instances of discrimination in various institutions on the peninsula. So I've been through that role, helping them connect to the appropriate folks who can help them within their institutions make their own changes, but also trying to support whatever I can in the public sphere.
Are there a lot of resources and people who are set up to help in situations like that? Like, do you find that when someone comes to you with an incident of discrimination, that there is a framework that you're able to kind of point them to for help, or is that something that's largely missing from these institutions?
It depends. For some of them, they do have some certain policies listed out that are like, yes, we're inclusive. So the policies are there, but the practice is not. And that's what's unfortunate, is that there are a lot of institutions that are like, yeah, we do this. This is great. You know, our theory and our mission says that we include everybody, but their actions are very lacking. It's very systemic and intersectional, actually. A lot of the folks that reach out to me are not only in the LGBTQ community, but their identities also intersect in other places. It's such a big lift. What Jenny is doing is so amazing, and Winter supporting her students, which I do have to say, Thea and Sophia, I was there that night of the board meeting and I listened, and I could not be more proud of you as students. So just know that there are people out there that are championing you and supporting you, even if you can't see us. So I just wanted to do that shout out.